And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Attitude. Snake kept us in the game the whole time, and we just came out with the result.
Track, wall, and a long three-run shot. Steven Piscotty, outside corner, struck him out. Worth slamming down his back.
Drilled into deep center field. Back goes Davis. Over the second wall.
Woo-wee. Here's the pitch. And a high pop-up. This should end it. Scope makes the catch. The Orioles beat the Red Sox here 12-5.
This is what we work hard for.
Here's Carlson. In on goal. Scores! The Mouth Man delivers in overtime.
I didn't expect to play this long, but it's finally come to an end. My last game as in the regular season.
To be able to have a player like that of his caliber call me an MVP, that's an unbelievable honor.
Curry finds Durant. Durant deep left three on the wing. Good for Kevin Durant.
It doesn't feel like the basketball gods shine down on us.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra recognizing a higher authority in the world of basketball. NBC Sports Nets piling in with a whole lot of highlights there for you. Royals Radio Network, Fox Sports Kansas City, Fox Sports Midwest, USA Network, CSN Chicago, WEEI, Boston Red Sox home network in midseason form as they call a loss. Fox Sports Warriors Radio Network, Eric Spoelstra, Russell Westbrook, and Paul Pierce, as we roll through your little opening montage. Welcome in. It's hour number two, Thursday, here on The Closers alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young, and I'm really happy to be joined by the Director of Athletics at the University of Missouri, Jim Sterk, joining us here by phone. So what you been up to?
Nothing. I've been bored the first 8 months of my job here.
Well, you know, that's probably the first athletic director we've ever had say that. Usually they give the litany of everything that's been going on. It's been an interesting time for you, and I want to start with the one thing. What is one of the two things that drew you to Missouri? Because we always talked about it here of a lot of instability. We had interim this and interim that, and we had interims and all. So what brought you to Missouri? Why?
I think I was enjoying life. I think we've joked about it. I had palm trees in my backyard, and we had things going at San Diego State, and really I got approached about the job. I was intrigued by it, and then as I did more research, and then had Brian White was here. Mac was trying to get him to go to Baylor with him, and he really told me, he really really liked this place, and him and Paige have made it a good home, and they didn't want to leave, and they were selling me on it. And then I met Hank Foley. He really talked to me about the institution and what has gone on. And I told the search firm, Todd Turner, I said, you can go to war with that guy. And he really did a good job of explaining what had happened in the past and then where he thought the institution could go. And so I really felt like I had the background. I had 20 years of an experience as an AD, and I felt maybe I could help this program move forward. And being in the SEC and being an AAU institution and being the flagship, I felt like we had an opportunity to really do something special and build on the past success and have some fun doing it. And I want people to enjoy Mizzou athletics and be proud of them. And I think we can help the institution move forward too. So I'm excited about it. And I'm more excited now than I was eight months ago. So that's a good sign.
Why are you excited more now than you were 8 months ago?
Well, the first 6 months, Hank would say, I told him, he kept asking me, are you okay? How you doing? And I said, you didn't have to test all my experience in the first 6 months of being an AD. But I think, we've been we've had to make a tough change in basketball, and we've got some momentum going there, and I think we really found the right guy, the right fit. I was looking for somebody with integrity and character and had experience at the Power Five level, and we found it in Konzo Martin, and then the dominoes have continued. I mean, what I had hoped might happen and thought might happen could happen has we've done that, and he's done that, and his relationships nationally and regionally in St. Louis. All of those things are really helping us move the program forward, and I think people are excited about that, and that is satisfying to have.
We're lucky enough to have Athletic Director Jim Sterk from the University of Missouri joining us, and Director Sterk, as you know, you talked about Konzo Martin and his relationships and the dominoes continuing to fall. As you were making things happen behind the scenes, as the search firm was doing its business, and as everything was going along with that hire, are we still operating at a level that you could see, or have we gone into chess grandmaster territory where the snowball has gotten bigger than you imagined?
You know, I felt like it could be a pretty good sized snowball and rolling down the hill, but I think it's gone beyond that. You know, to have. I think right now our recruiting class that signed already is like 10th in the country or something like that. And, you know, and you can take those ratings with a grain of salt, but we, you know, a truly McDonald's All-American, you know, signed to come here and you know, top 50, top 100 players. And so I think that's been better. And I think there still is maybe, he's still looking to sign a couple more, and I think there's, you know, great possibilities us even having a better recruiting class than right now.
Well, and that just continues to add to the excitement, and we'll get to the kind of the dollars and cents portion now, and cents can actually be C-E-N-T-S or common sense as things go forward. You had an interesting presentation. Mark Mills brought this to my attention a couple of weeks ago to the Chamber of Commerce about the dollars that are involved with athletics, and I want to start off with the first question, kind of the elephant in the room. Is it too much money, or is there a point where you look at this and go, oh my, I don't think this is not sustainable?
You know, it's sustainable as long as the television contracts mm-hmm. and things, you know, are out there. And I think our SEC contract goes to 2032 or something like that. So
it's a bit out there.
Yeah, it's a ways out there. And there's smart people at ESPN. So I think they can figure it out, and they're very, you know, a lot smarter than me, but I think, you know, it is a lot larger than what, you know, I ever imagined, you know, intercollegiate athletics could be. But we're able to do more things too. I mean, the adding of the cost of attendance for student athletes, it's about $5,300 or something like that for us, each student athlete, more than what they traditionally got in an athletic scholarship. And I think those are neat things to be able to do and help not just the, you know, the football players, the basketball players, it's, you know, women's basketball, volleyball, and our 500 and some student athletes are benefiting from that. So that's, you know, I think that's really, really positive. You know, I hate to see escalating, you know, salaries and things like that, but it's, you know, it's the United States of America, and it's a free market, and each institution is its own, you know, they're, you know, deal with their own campus, and you can't tell Alabama, you know, what they can spend on a football coach or what, and so they create a marketplace, and that, you know, is, that happens. So I think we're a part of that. We're part of the, you know, the best conference in America and in the SEC, and I think we have some great institutions here, and I love, you know, it gets my juices flowing to be able to compete against those guys. And so how can we do that? How can we create Mizzou and make it as strong and powerful, but do it in the right way? And my motto is to win it right, and our student athletes are going to have a great student athlete experience. We're not going to win at all costs. We're going to have that balance here, and that's what I love about intercollegiate athletics, and it's different than the pros, and it, you know, the people that are fans that just care about winning and losing, you know, there's a deeper part to intercollegiate athletics that I hope they get exposed to when those student athletes, you know, graduate and have, you know, meaningful degrees that, that carry them the rest of their lives. I get, that gets me up in the morning, and how do I make it all work? Mm-hmm. And that's exciting.
Part of your presentation was about the athletic payments to campus and support from the academic end into the athletic portion. For folks who don't understand, Missouri is a self-supporting athletic department, but that entails writing checks back and forth. How does that make life either more or less complicated for you when it comes to dealing with the academic side of the University of Missouri?
You know, I've been at institutions where there's been institutional subsidy, and where I think at San Diego State it was about $13 million or so. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, looked, and UConn, for instance, it's $35 million is what they're subsidized, 44% of their budget. And so Alabama, for instance, has $7.8 million of subsidy, and it's mostly in you know, student fees or you know, facility support, those kinds of things that they get it. And I think we've been able to wean from that, if you will, with the increased SEC revenues. We've been able to reduce that amount, and basically right now the only thing we receive is about $1 million this past year. It'll be less than that this coming year, but this past year in tuition waivers, if you will, for out of state. Okay. So if we have an out of state, it's kind of a paper transfer. But in return, we're paying back it's probably close to $20 million of about 20% of our budget goes back to the institution in one form or another. In tuition and fees, room and board, that's about $10 million. And we pay our light bills, utility bills, facilities. We support, there's infrastructure fees. So for us being a part of this system, we pay about $2.7 million. So there's a lot of that we do, but I wouldn't have it any other way, I guess, of being a part of an institution. But I knew with budget cuts and, you know, everything, they're going to look at, everyone kind of points, well, athletics, you know, has $95 million budget. Well, $20 million is going back to the institution before we even start, you know. So I think we're doing a good job of trying to do that, and we need to be self-supporting so that we can help grow the institution, and we that's not counting also the exposure that the institution gets as far as us being on ESPN, CBS, and the SEC network on a almost daily basis. So we're reaching millions of homes. We're kind of the brand identification, and we can help introduce people across the country about Missouri.
How much work do you do with the academic side, especially in light of the state budget cuts that have really sliced into what the academic side of things can do?
I sit on, you know, the chancellor's senior staff, mm-hmm. and so I'm in there with the provost and other parts of campus, and so we're a part of the institution, and we're wrestling with, you know, the best way of doing things, and I'd love, you know, I think Alabama has written a check back to the institution, but they're also getting about $8 million right up front from the institution. I could do that. I could write a check back. If I got $8 million from the institution, I could write it back. But we're not subsidized. So we have to make it on our own. And I think that's the best thing we can do is be the strong and the best athletics program for this institution to really attract the next generation of great Mizzou alums. And so to bring them to Columbia, and for on a given weekend, we want to have an economic impact of what we've had studied already. It's going to be over the next 2 years, $700 million of economic impact to the city and region of Columbia because of our athletic events, because of our projects, the South End Zone project, those kinds of things going on. So I think we're trying to do our part. If we're healthy and having success, then I think it benefits everyone.
Athletic Director Jim Stirk with us here on The Closers. We'll wrap this segment of the dollar and cents portion up with this. You mentioned early on the cost of attendance. That's going to bump your budget to fully fund that to over the $1 million mark in addition to just the academic scholarships of that. Would you like to see a standardized formula across the breadth of NCAA Division I athletics to figure this out as opposed to what seems like lawn darts?
Yeah, you know, the financial aid directors from each institution really, they have their own, you know, system of creating that cost of attendance, and it's through surveys and things like that. And we really dug into it 2 years ago, you know, when I was at San Diego State, and I know they did here, and actually they've had adjustments to it because of surveys and really finding out how much it truly costs to go to school here. So it's gone up. So I think... it'd be better probably if there was standardized, but it hasn't turned into the big issue that everyone was afraid it would turn into.
All right. Well, we're going to have a little bit of fun next time in the next segment here, because there's a lot of fun stuff coming up. You got black and gold. You've got basketball. You've got you may have heard about the basketball thing that seems to be pretty exciting. Softball, baseball, a lot of stuff coming up. So, Jim, can you hang for like a minute and a half, grab a glass of water, and then pop back in?
Okay. Thank
All right.
You.
We'll do that. We'll let him get a glass of water, and we'll get a beverage as well. We'll be right back. More of The Closers right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you're sticking with George Young, Jay Sparks alongside, and Athletic Director Jim Stirk is back with us. A refreshed can of Diet Coke, and he is ready to rock and roll here for the weekend. Black and gold game is coming up here. When you were at San Diego State, how much hype was around your spring football game?
It wasn't too much. We were in a big city and had a lot going on, and nothing like here. This is a great weekend. There's a lot of events on Friday and Saturday, reunions, former football players, those kinds of things. So no real tailgating before our spring game there. So this will be really, really fun to be a part of.
How much do you circulate around? Do you find yourself getting pinned like a butterfly on a log at a tailgate?
I try to circulate, okay. But yeah, I think they're starting at 10, I think people have told me. And so we have that, and then the spring game at 1. So I think people, it looks like, and hopefully we'll have a great weekend to be a part of that. And we have some events Friday night. We have our Blue Jean Ball for our major supporters, so it'll be fun. And I know there's a lot of reunions going on with former players as well.
Oh, well, we'll see you there then. Well, yeah, tomorrow night then at the Blue Jean Ball.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. That'll be my fourth one going to, so that's
going
to be a lot of fun.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. South end zone expansion, as you walk out there onto Faurot Field and you turn your visage south and you look at it, are you picturing what will be as opposed to what is?
Yeah, I am. There's a lot of work to be done yet, and they're working on the programming and really how it's going to end up looking. But it's going to be really something special for everyone. And I think fan engagement, it'll enhance that as far as different layers of that end zone project will involve people that you know, from all different walks of life. I think, you know, there'll be a bottom floor, a touchdown area, where a touchdown club, where almost like a sports bar type of thing, and then the next layer will be general admission suites, and then club area, and then the football coaches will have upper deck. I think will have their offices up on top. On the bottom, behind the touchdown club, will be all the, you know, weight room, locker rooms, medical training area. All of those areas, all the service areas for the team will be behind there, and then some meeting space as well. So we're trying to get everything all in one, and that's what has made it such a bigger project. But it's something that we really needed, and Barry showed me from my first day, basically, you know, what they had, and I could see that we needed to do that. And so we've had some very, very generous people that have helped us, you know, get momentum to be able to move this thing forward, and we're excited about that.
As a director of athletics, I mean, you're overseeing everything. How big of a concern is it to you that the football team is now going to be completely separated from the rest of the athletic population with the move over to the south end zone?
Well, we already have that really with, you know, basketballs here and wrestling over at Hearns. And so not everyone is there right now. So, but I think we really want to keep our academic support there in Matsy's so that there still is that crossover and the food service and things like that. So, I think between food and academics, we can have that intermixing that we would like and I think is healthy for the program.
Athletic Director Jim Stirk joining us, and you follow in the footsteps of Mike Alden being known as a fundraiser guy. He could go shake the money trees, as people, journalists like to say, and Mac Rhodes came in and he was known as a facilities guy. And in your lap when you took the job at Mizzou was this $96 million price tag on a facilities piece, a softball stadium that was getting up and running, a Hearn Center that multiple people are angling for different uses for or a revamp of. You know, when you follow in the footsteps of ADs who kind of have their niche or what they do well, and they leave projects on your platter, what's it like to step in and grab those mantles and go with it?
Well, I tried to come in with a fresh look as far as, you know, the South End Zone project, and Mike and Mac had different views on that, and I really, you know, what's best, you know, what can we accomplish and get something done as quickly as we can, and not that we're going to shortchange it, and actually it turned into almost as big as what Mac was talking about, but I think I tried to listen to people, you know, and really understand, and then try to push forward a direction, and we've been successful with that. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of needs. You know, we have 19 sports, and actually I just want to put in a plug. You know, our sports overall are doing great. Mm-hmm. We the Learfield Cup is out, and currently we're sitting 21st in the country, and that's because of wrestling at 5th in the country, women's indoor at 8th, and men's swimming and diving at 9th, and some other sports that are in the top 25, you know, with women's soccer, volleyball, women's basketball, and men's golf are all in that mix. So I think, and baseball flirting with it. So I think overall our sports programs are doing really, really well. People don't realize it because football and basketball have been down. And I think we've got a lot to be proud of. Our coaches are doing a great job, and I need to support them and help them continue to be successful and grow their programs. And so obviously football and basketball need to be there from a revenue generation standpoint, but overall we've got a lot of great things going on.
What sport did Jim Stirk find here at Missouri that he's become a fan of that he never thought he would be?
You know, I really, I really enjoy the environment at volleyball and wrestling in Hearns. That's a cool setting. I think it really, it's one of the better volleyball settings I think in the country as far as the way it's set up there and wrestling the same thing. I think the way that Hearns can be set up there and retooled, if you will, I think it's a pretty neat atmosphere. But, you know, softball is, you know, I've always loved that but the new venue is the Mizzou Stadium is really, really a neat one. And I like them all. Boy, Old Hawthorne, we have a great clubhouse out there for men's and women's golf. And thanks to the Walsworth family. And the Mizzou Arena it's 12 years old or something like that. It looks new. You know, if you look at it from inside, we had recruits and their parents here last weekend, and it's a beautiful arena. So I think we need to continue to develop, but I think we have a lot to build upon and a lot to be thankful for that we have already, but continue to push forward.
One could probably say, the Mizzou Arena the last few years has been gently used. Toward that, with Konzo Martin and the new recruits, Michael Porter Jr., and also now Blake Harris, and plus the other media stuff that is surrounding basketball, what are you seeing the response from the alumni base? Because when we visited right after the Martin hire, you had talked about season tickets down $2.3 million over the last couple of years. Where is that going, and is it meeting your expectation?
There's a lot of excitement. I think we've had over 1,500 new season tickets already, and that's just to start, you know. So I think that momentum is there and is going to continue to build to win. I think our first regular season game is Iowa State around the Tennessee weekend, that November 10th. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a fun weekend to kick that off, and hopefully we're playing for a bowl berth and a bowl position by then in football as well. So it could be a great weekend and for people to be around. So I've been told there's very little hotel rooms already available. So that's going to be, I think, the vendors and motelers in Columbia are happy about those kind of weekends.
Yeah, that's an old Big 8, Big 12 flashback contest with the Iowa State Cyclones for Missouri basketball. If what's been the most rewarding part about being an athletic director for you?
When you see a team achieve success and building it. So, you know, maybe it wasn't there, you know, when I started, and then to have that success and to see those student athletes have success athletically. And then, like the scholar side of things, the scholar banquets where you see them where they're graduating and they've had a great career and they have a great degree from Mizzou. That's probably the most rewarding thing, that we're preparing them for the rest of their life, that they've had a great experience. And when they're crying, when they're leaving, that's, I'm not a sadist, but I think, that really says you've done it right. And I think that people have really appreciated what they've received. And that validates what our staff and coaches are trying to do.
Jim, you spent a lot of time on the West Coast before coming here, and you've now had a winter in Missouri. Was it okay?
It wasn't a winter.
Well, but it was still winter compared to San Diego.
Yeah, there was a day where it was zero, I think. But then the next week it was 70.
Yeah,
so,
I'm
not quite used to the jumping back and forth. But, I grew up right on the Canadian border, and there was a lot of snow and cold weather around. And so actually I really enjoyed the variety, if you will, of the weather this winter. And I was looking forward to days like today. I was ready for winter to be done, but I did enjoy that. And I think I love it. So I'm having a great time.
I know it's a little late now. You've had a lot of experience as an athletic director, but if you weren't an athletic director, what would you be?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've always joked, I really enjoyed, I was a high school teacher and coach. When I retire, I might be a ninth grade basketball coach, you volunteer my time and do that. I really love that age where they're developing and they have some skills by then. And so you can really teach and have them grow. But I really enjoyed that. So you might see me do that.
And they're not snarky enough yet to tell you that you have no idea what you're doing.
That's exactly right. They still might listen. You might have a shot at where they might listen to you at that age.
Favorite moment so far here as the athletic director for the university, or just as your move over from San Diego to Missouri?
Oh, that's a tough one. I've had some fun ones.
Okay.
Football winning the border, the Border War Trophy, volleyball winning the SEC, women's basketball had some great wins. I really loved it, for Kim to go out and win an SEC tournament game. I think that was really great. I love that. So there's been some fun ones already uh, that that I've had, and I'm looking forward to a heck of a lot more.
Have you settled on a favorite restaurant?
No, there's a lot.
Oh, man. I'm
a pretty good sampler. I've got to work out more so I can I can sample more, but I really enjoyed enjoyed the diversity of the food around, and my wife and I think our recipe box is more of the restaurant menus as opposed to a recipe box. So we're working on that.
All righty, Jim, thank you for the time. I really do appreciate it. We'll try to do this on a regular. I like Thursdays with Jim. That has a nice fireside chat feel to it.
All right. George, thank you.
Thank
George,
you, sir.
Say thanks.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the time. Jim Stirk, Athletic Director. We'll be right back. We're going to wrap up. We'll move forward here in hour number two. We'll do that right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back. If you missed it, the interview with Jim Stirk, or anything, if you've missed it,
sure.
Many of our segments, check out the KFRU or KLIK1240.com websites. Check out the podcast page and scroll down. The Closers stuff is there. That includes our interview a couple of weeks ago with, was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was last week with Robin Pinston.
Yep.
Man, we have been swinging for the fences.
And connecting.
Yeah.
Unlike some of the baseball teams in Missouri.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but our runs don't count. Theirs do.
Right. Sure.
But appreciate Jim Stirk taking the time here today with us. The genesis of this was a presentation that he gave before the Columbia Chamber of Commerce a couple of weeks ago, I guess about a month ago now, discussing Missouri athletics, Missouri athletic revenue, and how that intertwines with what goes on with the academic side of thing. And I think the one key thing to come out of that one is Missouri's support from the athletics or from the academic side of things is 1.7% of its budget.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1.7% of the academic budget, 1.7% of the athletic budget.
Right.
And he's talking about a budget that's going to be, I mean, revenues last year was 91.2 million dollars. Expenses, almost 87 million. And he went through some of the numbers, but the check that they write back to the academic side of things, nearly $16 million.
That's, yeah, back into academics.
Back to academics.
Right.
Yeah. Where, as he mentioned, Alabama, this is the SEC comparison.
Right.
But Alabama receives a subsidy from the from academics of $7.9 million. Auburn, $6.4 million. Florida, 4.3, Mississippi, 4 million, Georgia's 3.2, South Carolina's 2.9, Mississippi State, 2.5, Arkansas, 1.9, Missouri's 1.5, LSU and Texas A&M are zeros, Kentucky is $901,000, Tennessee's a million. So Missouri's at the bottom end as far as receiving a check from the academic side of things for support, but near the top for writing check to the academic end of things. So it's an interesting discussion. 442-8255 is the phone number here, and let's kind of circle back to where this whole thing started, which was sports.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, action at Nationals Park. It was actually going on while we were here, and Missouri and the St. Louis Cardinals took care of. By the time we were all said and done, and we walked out the door, they had actually picked up the victory, 6-1. Stephen Piscotty, a 5 RBI day.
Yeah.
As he, no wonder you're throwing at him all the time as he's running around the bases.
People are gonna get angry.
Yeah, but he picks up a 5 RBI day, and the Cardinals avoid a sweep at the hands of the Nationals again. They're off tonight. Before heading to Yankee Stadium for a weekend set with the New York Yankees. We're going to talk with Larry Borowski tomorrow, but there's two concerns. I don't know if they're going to go away all season long, and that's the bullpen and defense.
Yeah. Defense is usually you are who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the defense you play at the beginning of the season is often the defense you play at the end of the season, barring major personnel changes. along the way. So if you're having defensive problems early, there's a good chance that that's going to be who you are. Now, bullpens, arms can get right. Arms that are wrong now can get right. Arms, if everybody's in a cold streak, you have progression and regression to means, and progression to the mean means that not everybody's going to be like that the whole season. So that can fix itself. That can get better. But being a subpar defensive team is not going to help a team that's trying to get right.
No, and part of the problem with that becomes, and one of the biggest examples was the other night when Lance Lynn was on the mound in Washington, Johnny Peralta flubs the possibility of a double play. Now, you never assume. They always say, you don't assume a double play. Okay. 5-4-3 going around a horn on a double play is generally pretty good on the major league level. You're pretty solid footing on that one. Well, he flubs it up. Washington gets extra outs. They get extra runs. And instead of what would have been, Jen Langosh had this on the Cardinals website. Instead of Lance Lynn having a 13 pitch inning, he has a plus 30 pitch inning. Well, now that gets you into your bullpen sooner. Your bullpen's been an Achilles heel. And a lot of what the Cardinals have done, Larry talked about this last week, haven't been necessarily errors of commission, boot the ball, throwing error,
right,
fielding error. It's been of omission. You forget and you throw behind the runner, allowing the runner to advance, or you forget the situation that you're in. And I mean, one thing that when I was playing for my dad, he always drilled into us, look who's on.
Know where you're going.
Know where you're going.
Right.
The question you always ask, if the ball comes to me, where am I going with it?
Right now. Answer it.
Yeah. Yep. And it seems to be a question that the Cardinal players sometimes wait till the ball gets to them before they go, oh, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
And as a result, they're 3-6.
Yeah. And a good win last night. I mean, you got to start somewhere. So you get a win, and that's solid. And speaking of winning and starting somewhere, game one is a good game to win. St. Louis Blues.
Yes.
That was a late thing that existed.
But it was a thing.
Yes. Yeah. And Jake Allen, I know we talk a lot about goalkeeping. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the NHL playoffs, you can't tell the story of the NHL playoffs without talking about goaltending.
Right.
And you have a goaltender who stands on his head.
He had to.
Your team is going to go far. And when you get outshot 2-1, over 2-1 in the course of a game,
2-1,
then your goalie better have been standing on his head. And you go down to the last, you play 59 minutes of 1-0 hockey, getting shut out and not getting shut out, pitching a shutout against that kind of shots on goal to give it up so late. But then Joel Edmondson, an unsung hero, comes back. Good win. Good win for the Blues.
Tarasenko, he'll spin on Koivu right out in front. A chance. They score! Joel Edmondson gets the goal. St. Louis wins in overtime.
Thank you for coming. Please drive home safely. We'll see you again on Friday night at 7:30.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't.
No, but you know what it was?
A win. Yeah.
And you basically stole back home ice advantage. 442-8255. Good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
Yeah, George.
Yes.
Is Okendo still on manager or coaching third?
No. He is not.
He is still in the organization. He moved down to the minors to work as a hitting instructor in the minor league program for the Cardinals, as opposed to being at the major league level.
Okay. Because last year I noticed, when he had his hip surgery or whatever, I noticed it seemed like the Cardinals' defense was a lot worse last year.
Well,
I wonder if he wasn't the kind of the defensive guru that, taught him how to do things.
Yeah, he kind of was. That was kind of, in addition to being his third base coach, appreciate the call, thank you, was coaching him up on the defensive side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw his imprint, his influence a lot prior to 2016. He goes down with the knee replacement surgery and has complications, misses all of 2016, and you saw it just was a crater
mm-hmm.
for the Cardinals on the defensive side of things. They gave up so many extra runs, and it wasn't necessarily unearned stuff. It was just, I got to throw an extra out. I got to have a four out inning now instead of what would have been just the normal standard three innings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, great. To go back to your point, great win by the Blues. They're up 1-0, and they will be back at it again on Friday night at the XL Energy Center. That will be a NBC Sportsnet, I believe, has the call of that one again. And it'll be Friday night. Friday night, Minnesota. Wild and the Blues. We'll be right back. We're going to wrap up the hour and tidy up a couple of things. We'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Royals and A's tonight. What happens?
Baseball.
All right. Good answer.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Somebody's going to score a run because they won't let it end in a tie.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Probably the A's.
For that and additional breakdowns, we encourage you to tune in every single day from 4 to 6 o'clock because we provide detailed breakdowns just like that.
Just like that. Excruciating detail.
Yes.
Let no stone go unturned.
Especially as we're kicking them down the road. By the way, if you missed it earlier, Hall of Famer Lou Brock is currently being treated for bone cancer. He had his left leg amputated below the knee back in 2015. Complications from diabetes. He's been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, according to the St. Louis Cardinals. And he will miss the Budweiser Bash on April 25th. He was scheduled to be there for that one. He has sent his regrets, and the Cardinals organization is going to be that's actually been canceled.
Hmm.
But man, you hope for the best. I mean, he was elected first year Hall of Fame back in 1985, and has said many, many times how thankful he has been to the St. Louis Cardinals organization for what they have done for he and his wife. But now he needs us. So,
yeah, be there.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Go ahead.
Talked about the Blues. Mm-hmm. Talked about the Cardinals. Okay. Talked about the Royals.
Yes.
If you've missed it, Missouri Tigers are now down to 2 remaining scholarships.
Correct.
As today, Blake Harris inked his financial aid agreement papers with the University of Missouri. Again, letter of intent, you get one a year.
So once you've signed somewhere, if you're released, you don't get to sign another one.
You become a free agent.
You just go and sign some financial aid paperwork and move on about your business.
Right. And as Gabe said, what that does is that obligates the school to you, but not you to the school.
Which is what everyone should do to start with, pretty much.
But Michael Porter Jr. and now Blake Harris have joined the Missouri Tigers, and also C.J. Roberts. He was the one recruit from Kim Anderson's last recruiting class. And you know, with everything that's going on, we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow about how you handle recruits and releases from a request to be released from a letter of intent and the vitriol that's been going on over at the University of Illinois. But purely from the standpoint of a kid asking for his release because the coach hasn't met with him is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Porter,
sure,
had that happen at Washington. And basically there was a pretty scathing editorial as well.
Awful
saying
editorial.
Take your talents and get the heck out of town. We don't need you. We don't need your kind here. You're not committed to us.
# sour grapes.
Yes, pretty much. Well, those sour grapes have been moved over to Champaign.
Right.
But I think the one thing that Konzo Martin did right as we wrap this up was meet immediately as quick as he could with C.J. Roberts.
Correct.
Find out where he was at.
Yep.
What his intentions were, and is this something that you are of interest to?
And show a commitment to him.
Yep. So listen, you got to do stuff like that. You have to do stuff like that. It's all about the sales part. So thanks to our guests today. Really do appreciate them joining us. Joe Vazelli, Columbia Daily Tribune, St. Louis Post Dispatches, Dave Matter, and the Director of Athletics at the University of Missouri, Mr. Jim Masterk. Appreciate all of them joining us. Don't forget to check out the podcast page here on KFRU or KLIK1240.com. Jay Sparks, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Please be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.